Welcome into the Cougar Tailgate, where BYU fandom lives. Here's your host, Lauren McClain.
What's up, Cougar Nation? Lauren McClain here, and we're doing what we do best, talking all things BYU Cougars. Today is the first show of our brand new roundtable discussion format. We'll discuss a few topics with former BYU athletes and current BYU sports analysts. You all know Cleon Wall. What's up, Cleon?
Hey, everyone.
It's
just like, big deal. It's just Cleon.
And we're blessed to have Brian Logan in the house with us today. B-Lo, good to have you here, my friend.
Hey, everyone.
Matching the tone. Yeah. Today, I want everyone to give off their preseason takes on how the inaugural season in the Big 12 will go for the Cougars. BYU has a loaded schedule this year, so let's start with this. When you look at the Cougars' schedule, what's the first game you have circled? Let's start with Cleon.
First game I have circled. Wow. I'm going to actually say Texas Tech. I lived in West Texas. I know how much football means to them. So that game circled for me. This is a sleeper Red Raiders team. They're picked fourth in the conference. But if Tyler Shuck can stay healthy, this can be a really, really good team. It's BYU's homecoming game. It's in the middle of the season. So I think we'll know a lot about the Cougars after they play Texas Tech. And by the way, I love the Red Raiders uniforms. I love their mascot. I love everything about Texas Tech.
Red? Yeah, the color red?
Yeah, and black. It's red and black. So yeah,
I mean, be careful what you're saying, Ryan.
It's interesting. I used to like red until I came here.
B-Lo, what do you have? What game do you have circled?
Oklahoma is the game that I have circled. Obviously, I played against Oklahoma. I was on the team that beat Oklahoma. Man, so many good memories, and I think seeing them on the schedule just kind of brought all that back up. Obviously, it's a brand, right? It's a pretty big brand. I hope it snows as well
to give BYU the advantage.
The first time I've ever said that living in Utah, I've been here since 2009. Away, at first I thought Texas maybe, but I would say Arkansas as well. I'm thinking about going to the game, maybe. I guess I got to talk to Junior and see if I can do it. But my boys, they live in Missouri. They live in the Ozarks, actually. So, it would be a good trip for me and for them, and sit down and watch a BYU football game that's outside of Utah, outside the stadium. So
in SEC country as well. I'm with you, Brian. I'm going with Oklahoma for my home game. The biggest opponent BYU will ever face at home, or has ever faced, I dare say, as part of the same conference. Because I know that BYU has had some incredible teams come into Lavelle Edwards Stadium. They had, what was USC ranked a few years ago, number three. They've had great teams come in. Miami, number one, back in 1990. Cleon would remember that. So great
teams. Thank you for bringing up my
teams.
Age one more time. I really appreciate
Brian and
that.
Brian was not born. I was a little too young. No, I'm just kidding. No, I just was saying.
In 91?
90. 1990.
Oh, 90. Oh, I was born in 88.
So oh, yeah. Two. Oh, you were two, two then. So, you know, we were around. We were around. I was four. Anyway, no, BYU, my point is BYU's had some incredible teams come to Cougar Stadium or Lavelle Edwards Stadium, but this is going to be the biggest opponent BYU's ever had come as part of their same conference.
Right.
And I just think, and it's the only year it's going to happen, having Oklahoma in Lavelle Edwards Stadium as part of the Big 12. I think that's got to be your home game that's circled on the calendar for the road game.
So you're saying San Diego State was not a big enough opponent when they came to Lavelle?
That is what I'm saying. No disrespect to the Aztecs.
That actually was for me.
It was for me,
yeah. Because San Diego State, I had committed to my freshman year of my junior college. And even going into my sophomore year, I was committed. And coach got fired, and the new head coach came in, Brady Hoke, and took my scholarship away. So I looked at everybody like during that game, and I said, look, we could lose. I don't care if we win another game the rest of the season. And that was the
everyone's year looking at you like,
that was the year that we beat Oklahoma. So, you know, fast forward, I'm like, I don't care about none of these games. I don't care about Oklahoma, none of that. All that is behind us. We got to focus on right now. I will hate each and every one of you if we lose this game. And it was, and then, you know, my senior year when they came, it was like there was a lot of hype, and everybody knew too. And we had, I think that's when we broke the losing streak. So we had lost four in a row First time we lost to Utah State in since like the 19 like
those were some 30s dark
or something
days.
Like that. It was some dark days. Coach Hill got fired. You know, we lost four in a row. Coach Hill got fired. I think it was San Diego State when Bronco took over. And I was like, see, even on a down year,
I still got you. Well, for Brian, San Diego State was the largest opponent to ever come into Lubbock State. My road game is what you said originally, Brian, is Texas. I know these are the obvious choices, but they are just so that obvious to me. Only year in the same conference before they head off to the SEC. They're going to be the top of the conference. They're the top dog. They're the guys everybody wants to beat. BYU has a knack for some reason. I mean, sometimes they do really poorly against lesser opponents, and then against really great opponents, they do very, very well. So I'm like, there is a chance that BYU could do well against Texas, and who would not want to be there if they upset Texas, you know, at Longhorn Stadium, their last year in the Big 12? Come on. Yeah. I don't even think you guys can argue that, right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, you could. It's huge, but
because they're picked to finish the they're picked to finish first in the conference. So that's definite. It's a huge stadium. It's the biggest name in Texas when it comes to football. Aggie fans, Texas yeah. A&M Aggie fans may argue that. But, I mean, you're still talking about probably the biggest name out there outside of the SEC, and they're going to join the SEC. But, hey, thanks to them, BYU's
yeah,
the
no,
12.
We love them. We love yes. them, but we want to beat them. And I love the Steve Sarkisian tie with BYU. I love that Taysom Hill just trampled over them the last two times they played BYU. So, yeah.
You know, it's funny when I see that on the schedule, I'm like, oh, that's a win.
Just when you see Texas on the schedule, just because of Taysom Hill, what happened those 2 years?
Yeah, Oklahoma, he's same thing with Oklahoma. I'm like, I beat them. Like, that's a win. I'm more scared of Texas Tech than those two, just because of the history, and like you said with Taysom, it's like so for example, when Florida State came in 2009, we were seventh in the nation, just beat Oklahoma, and people like my guys, that look in the eye was like, hey. Hey, stay with me.
Yeah.
You know, because you have these big brands, right? And as a kid,
and big
growing
boys
up,
too.
I have stories of how I came to people's knees, you know. But you have these big brands, and when you're growing up, you put them on the pedestal, right? So it's like, oh my gosh, and so it's hard to break that moment. And sometimes when you don't feel like you belong, right? Like you're on the same stage as these guys, you end up laying a giant egg like we did. And so I don't have that feeling when it comes to Texas or Oklahoma. I'm like, psh, man.
You got this.
I don't see him as like a Wyoming, but
yeah.
But I'm just like, it's another school.
All the old Mountain West foes.
Yeah. San Diego
Brian's,
State,
Brian's
Wyoming.
Just trashing on him.
Man,
there we go.
He's got something against those guys. No, it makes sense, though, because BYU, even just the program, is not as familiar with Texas Tech. And they could be this team. You're like, how do we take these guys? What do we do? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, let's move on to our next topic that kind of goes along with that. We talked about the games we're most excited for, but which game is going to be the most pivotal game for BYU? Cleon, what do you think?
I'm going to say TCU. If BYU's playing really well, they start out 5-0, this game could prove, hey, we're not a fluke. We're actually a really good team. And you could say that after Arkansas too, but I'm just saying it's the cumulative, it keeps adding up. Let's say they're 3-2 going into this. This game could keep them above 500. You know, they need a good game before they go on that run of Texas Tech, Texas, West Virginia, and back-to-back-to-back weeks. So I think this is the team that could be a pivotal point for BYU this season. And I just want to beat the Horned Frogs. They've won the last four games against BYU.
Yeah, there's a history there for sure.
If I'm a BYU fan, I want to get these guys back. These are old conference foes. I want to get them back. So that's the pivotal game for me, both as a fan and just for the program, where they are at the time too.
Brian, what do you think?
For me, it's Arkansas, and the biggest challenge that BYU has had since I've been a part of the program, and probably even before me, has been depth, and it's been injuries. And whenever you play against these, I don't want to say big schools, because not every big school from a brand perspective is going to have huge kids that are monsters and going to could destroy you every play. But Arkansas, you know, does.
They can.
and so obviously, you know, having a game like that injury free is very tough. And the game, I mean, it's hard, like, hard to say it this way, but that game really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and when it comes to us being in a conference for our first year, we want to focus on the conference play, which is why a lot of schools, P5 schools, they scheduled, you know, the Sam Houston States and the Western, you know, Valley, Mississippi, whatever, you know what I mean? Because they understand how important conference play is. And so you always put yourself at more of a risk for injury when you're playing against, you know, top tier talent and opponents. I think Cody Epps, I'm not sure, I think he got hurt that game. That and he was out for the rest of the season. Right. So yeah, I think it's important for the fact of just coming out injury free or as best as possible.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. Depth always has been kind of an Achilles heel for BYU. I feel like the ones have been fantastic, twos, and then it's dropped off a little bit. So yes, heading into the conference first year in the Big 12, you want your guys, your number ones, to be mm-hmm. healthy and there. I think that's a great point. I have Kansas is the most pivotal game. It's the conference opener, and I think you can set the tone for the rest of conference play. One win at a time, right? Kansas is picked to finish ninth in the conference, so they're not supposed to be that great. And although it's two spots above where the Cougars are picked to finish, they're not supposed to be a super strong team. And if BYU gets trampled by Kansas, what kind of tone is that setting for the rest of the season? Because it really just gets harder and harder for the most part for BYU from there. So for me, the most pivotal game of the season is going to be that conference opener against Kansas. Let's talk about, we're going to be a little bit of Debbie Downers here. BYU has a mountain to climb this year. And as we know, as BYU fans, things don't always go the way you want them to go. What do we feel like would be the worst case scenario for BYU football this year, Cleon?
I don't think they're going to lose every single game. I'm pretty confident they're going to win the first two games of the season. So I think the worst case scenario is they only win three games. Actually, I think they win four games. I think they win four because I think they'll probably beat either Cincinnati at home, Iowa State at home, or West Virginia. I think they get two of those three games. So I think they win four. So my worst case scenario is probably 3-9 or 4-8, but I'll go 4-8. I think that's the worst case scenario first year in the conference is you only go 4-8. And yeah, that's not great.
That's not actually great. A positive worst case scenario. Yeah, though, there's still a handful.
No, I know
of
you could
there.
Say 0-12. You could right, say 2-10 or something like that. It's still not great if you go 4-8. You're losing yeah. eight games, and so yeah, I don't know. I think that's worst case. I think it's 4-8. You're still thinking to yourself, man, where were those at least two other games that would have made us bowl eligible? And you're starting right. to think, where did we lose those two games? And I'm thinking from a fan perspective. I'm probably not thinking from a player perspective because you want to win every single game. But you're just like, there's got to be at least six games out there that I think they can win. I think worst case is they lose two of those games.
Yeah,
I agree. I think expectations is always make it to a bowl game. You know, for basketball, it's always make it to the tournament,
mm-hmm.
And that's just the standard. So, if BYU doesn't make it to a bowl game, to me it's a failure because that's the set expectations. So, I think you have every reason to be right about that. For me, it'd be this is maybe a different unique approach, but for me it'd be if Keaton Slovis gets injured and you know, misses a lot of games. After seeing him during the scrimmage on Saturday, and man, I was sitting with Uncle B, and every time he, you know, made a good play, a good pass, I looked at him, I was like, oh yeah, we're gonna win. Oh yeah, we're gonna win. We're gonna win. We're gonna win. I'm ready. And I was like a kid in the candy store, but I think you know, seeing his performance on Saturday just really showed me how valuable he is, and gave me that much more confidence in the offense and, you know, obviously in the team. But I mean, can you imagine if we didn't have somebody like Keaton Slovis in regards to experience, right? Mm-hmm. Not even talk about just talent yet, but just the experience of playing, you know, in these big games on these big stages, right? Can you imagine us not having somebody like that going into the Big 12? I'd be like, hey, if we can win one game, we'd be good. We'll be good. We don't, you know, the normal expectation of going to a bowl game, let's throw that out. Throw it out. Don't worry. Just win one game.
Whatever it is. SUU. Sam Houston. Whatever it is. No, I think that's a great point. And say what you will about the transfer portal, right? But BYU definitely scored big in the quarterback position. And luckily, A-Rod, I mean, he's been high on Jake Retzlaff and Cade Finnegan said they're coming up. And so, I mean, fingers crossed. BYU has had just terrible luck in the quarterback position when it comes to staying healthy. But I'm with you. I think that would – that would be a detriment to the BYU offense because they're doing great. I've heard and seen only great things in fall camp from the BYU offense, so I think that's going to be kind of the shining spot for BYU. So I think that's a good one for me.
I think too, like the hope aspect, right?
Yeah,
like you're just hopeless, and that's the worst thing. I mean, even it was, the Bible even says that a lot, right? Like if somebody doesn't have hope, that's like it's like decay in his bones, right? So imagine waking up every day going to practice, and I'm like, man, we don't got a quarterback.
Yeah.
We suck. We're not going to win. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to work hard. It's hard to get up and get excited, you know, about something that you're hopeless for. So I think he gives them that hope as well.
Right. And that's where the depth comes in. You just hope BYU has that depth. Yeah. Heaven forbid anything happen. For me, the worst case scenario is losing to Cincinnati and Kansas those first two games of the season. The climb only gets more difficult from there, and it'll be really hard for BYU to dig themselves out of that hole. They're two of the worst teams in the conference. I mean, those are preseason polls. Anything can happen once the season starts, right? That's what we're hoping as BYU fans, because BYU is ranked, 11th in the polls right now in the Big 12? So we're hoping they're wrong. We're hoping all that goes out the window. But I just think that could be the worst case scenario is at the beginning of the season, both those games at the beginning, and they lose both of those games. And they're like, well, what are we going to do against Texas Tech and Oklahoma and Texas? And, you know, and so, yeah. Easiest part of the schedule, I feel like you got to nail down those games. You got to prove yourself and do it in a convincing manner. I think that'd be great. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to give you our bold predictions for the 2023 football season, and here's some of your hot takes. This is Cougar Tailgate. Welcome back to Cougar Tailgate. I'm Lauren McClain with Brian Logan and Cleon Wall. All right, finally, guys, let's end on a positive note, and I'll give our bold predictions for the season. I already know Cleon thinks Keaton Slovis is going to win the Heisman, and Brian, too, apparently. But make this something big that might not be realistic, but the unrealistic BYU fan inside of you thinks it could be possible. Let's go with one of the fan responses first. At Bro Henderson on Twitter says, BYU finishes in the top 25 at the end of the year, with better players at every position and more depth, and improved defense creating havoc, will surprise many by winning some of the close ones. Slovis and four others get drafted.
Oh, those are some bold predictions right there. Top 25, is that realistic,
wow.
Brian?
And four drafted players. Well, five.
I just want to concentrate on the top 25 thing. I think you could possibly see four. I don't know if you could see four drafted players. I think there's a few, but Brian, what do you think? Top 25?
I think so.
Ooh, okay.
Is that the fan inside of you, or is that like the analyst inside of you saying
That's the analyst inside of me.
Oh,
all right. You know, when you first read that top 25, I went like this, like, no way.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking about my comments I said earlier about Keaton Slovis, and then I started thinking about the new defense, and then I was like, you know what? It could be possible. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Brian, you start with your bold prediction for this season. What is it?
So this kind of carries, like, piggybacks on that one. Nine wins.
Wow. Nine wins.
I said nine. Yeah.
Woo.
That is bold. A lot of analysts are saying, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if BYU got eight wins, but I haven't heard anybody say nine. And again, if you were to see my reaction on Saturday after seeing Keaton, I think you. It would make sense of why I said, you know, nine wins. But then you got to think about the defense. I mean, the defense side of the ball, they look completely different. Playing with a lot more confidence. Everybody's flying to the ball. I mean, it's like a whole new team. Guys are actually like hitting and tackling. Like,
amazing.
Man, like being physical. I'm like, this is football. But I think on the defensive side of the ball with the whole new staff, it does something to you as a player. You know, I was a part of something similar. We didn't have a whole new staff because we just had some graduate assistants that came up and stepped up. But it's kind of like a reset, right? And everybody's flying around. It's your opportunity to, you know, show what you got. And you kind of have a new sense of life. And I think, that new sense of life compared, matching that with Keaton Slovis and A-Rod's already, he's already proven, mm-hmm. And so I think those two, marry well with each other. And wouldn't surprise me if they got top 25, but I'd say 9 wins.
Wow. And I mean, the new defense is one of the reasons that analysts across the country are putting BYU so low, because they just don't even know what to expect. They don't know what to see. You can't rake a team high when you don't even know what you're going to see from a brand new coordinator. There's a lot of different guys. It's a very different team, different coaching staff. So I think that's one of the exciting parts, is it's like, it's exciting for game one, right? And then you see what happens. But you're like, what's going to happen? It's good. There's like a lot in the air. You just have high hopes.
I know. It's so exciting.
Yes, I know. We're really close. What's yours, Glenn? What's your bold take?
I had 4. I know. I'm an overachiever. I'm just like, let me write.
He's a preparer.
Just in case. So I'll give you 2. The one will be really quick. The first one will be quick, and that is BYU is going to win 1 game this year on a game-winning field goal. After all the heartache and talk we've heard about how bad the field goal kickers are, they're going to win 1 game with a game-winning field goal. I didn't say how long. I just said a game-winning field goal.
Okay.
Bold take number 2. This is going to go back to Brian. BYU is going to, on average, hold opponents under 24 points a game, fulfilling the Bronco Mendenhall mandate for winning.
That's bold.
You score 24 or more, and on average, you hold people to 24 or less.
You realize this is the Big 12, right?
Yeah, I do.
That's bold.
Okay. Jay Hill dials up the right blitzes. The linebackers are flying all over the field. They're getting tackles. DBs getting just enough turnovers to keep opponents out of the end zone. I didn't say by how much. It could be 23.9, but,
23.9.
That doesn't sound so bold when I say it that way. But I'm going to say under 24 points a game, the BYU defense is going to keep people under 24 points a game on average this season.
That's 10 wins right there, according to Broncos. Well, there's more to the formula, but that's one part of the formula.
I'm only doing the one. I'm not that smart, Brian.
We're like, whoa, Brian.
You got to score over 24, hold opponents under 24, be plus one in the turnover margin, and then rush for over 100 yards and then hold offenses under 100 yards rushing. And that formula
guarantees a win.
10 wins.
Yeah. Wow.
Bronco's amazing.
He's an incredible coach. You got 2 more, Cleon. What are they?
No, I'm not gonna go through all of them. I'll go with those 2.
Go on. No, let's hear him. Go on.
LJ Martin takes over as the number one running back by the 7th game of the season.
I don't think that's what he's been doing in fall camp, I don't think that's that crazy.
He does a little bit of everything, and you just can't keep him off the field.
Yeah.
Maybe he and Aiden Robbins share it a little bit more, but by 7 games, I think they're going to say, we can't keep this guy off the field. Let's just get him in there. Can he
become like a Puka Nacua-esque type player? I mean, I've seen his hands just watching fall camp. He's got great hands when he catches. I know he's a running back, but can do it all. That's kind of how Puka Nacua was.
Just get the ball to him.
Yeah.
And then my last. The last one's not as bold as Keaton Slovis is going to be a Heisman finalist. I'll go with this. Keaton Slovis surprises everyone and turns out to be the best quarterback in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows he's good, but no one expects him to be this good. They're probably sitting there thinking, yeah, maybe 4, maybe 5. No, he turns out to be the best quarterback in the Big 12. You know, no more Quinn Ewers, no one else like that. It's going to be Keaton Slovis. That's my last one.
That's a bold take. My bold take, number 1, I have 2, not as prepared as Cleon. BYU will not miss a field goal this entire season. How about that?
Oof.
Listen, whether it be Boise State transfer Will Ferrin or somebody else, that might be the boldest prediction of all, considering BYU's luck last year and how spring ball went. But it's just so important. I feel like Kelly Papinga is the man, right? You know, Kelly pretty well, Brian Logan. And
I don't like kickers.
Okay, well, we'll save that for a different discussion.
Wow. I don't know if we can. We might have to do a bonus podcast or something like that.
Bonus.
Why Brian Logan hates kickers and why I can't pronounce Brian Logan's name.
Brian Logan.
You know, I always say punters. Punters are people, but not kickers.
Not kickers. I'm sure they'd appreciate hearing that. My bold take number two is BYU will beat one of the big two, Texas or Oklahoma, by 2 scores or more.
Oh, yeah. That's good. I like that.
Ooh.
I think it's
I think that's pretty spicy.
Yeah.
That's right. I think it could be Oklahoma. I think it could be Oklahoma. I think Texas would be tougher, but I think they could.
With the rock behind them, I think it's a possibility.
They could.
Remember what I said earlier, right?
Yeah.
About how I don't see them as I don't see them as Goliath, right? So I would go ahead and piggyback and say that will probably happen.
Mm. Wow. Okay. Mm.
Love it. Let's hear from the fans a little bit more. Brett Hodkinson on Facebook said, "My bold prediction is that Isaac Rex will lead the team in receptions this season." I think that's a possibility.
That's bold. I think that's
do
bold.
You?
Yeah, I think it is too.
Yeah.
He didn't get very many to him last year.
But he
wasn't quite himself either. So
he had, like one leg the whole season. If he said touchdowns, I'd have been like, okay, I could see the touchdowns, but
receptions.
Yeah.
Jason Blackburn said, "My hot take is that Ryder Burton will be the starter for the Texas game."
What?
Ryder Burton, huh?
I don't see that. Jason! That's really hot, but yeah.
What are you doing?
I wouldn't mind that. He looks just like Zach. He reminds me of Zach.
Does he? Ryder Burton?
Yep. I'm in love. that's the best way, like Taysom is right here.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Ryder's like, slightly below.
Zach is like right here, but like Ryder, he's like right here now.
Right in the middle of those two.
Yeah.
So. Not even in the top 100 kickers. Okay.
No.
At S.Dottel said on Twitter, "I think BYU falls just short of bowl eligibility this year." This is our bold take. "But pick up a couple good wins. I hope I'm wrong and we make it to a bowl game." All right.
That's a bold take.
It's funny.
When we think bold takes, we think, what's this cool thing? And, she just brings it to it and says, this is my bold take. I don't think they're going bowling.
She's like, if I'm being honest here, I don't think they're going to bowl game. So.
The honest bold take.
All right. Okay, guys, we're going to really quickly, I want you guys to give me what you predict will be BYU's 2023 record. Cleon.
7-5. 7-5.
Brian?
9-whatever.
9-3.
Bronco would be disappointed in that math. I'm going with 6-6. So we'll see what happens, you guys. All right, that does it for us today. Thanks again to Brian Logan and Cleon Wall for coming on the show with me. You can join the Cougar Tailgate wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Cougar Tailgate is a production of BYU Radio.